Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello. Cody Horton here, broadcasting from Colorado. Today, it's about Revenge of the Wounded Child, the Ego Game. And all of this information is in the book I wrote a long time ago called Revenge of the Wounded Child, Understanding the Emotions That Bind You and How to Create Emotional Freedom. The ego is motivated by seeking approval, control, and safety. The power of the ego is intoxicating and addictive, yet ultimately destructive. As we emerge from infancy, we begin to distinguish ourselves from others, creating a self-image. As we create this self-image, the ego grows stronger, making us lose touch with our soulfulness and, in fact, creating a kind of amnesia about who we truly are. We become so closely identified with the ego that we create trances through our attachments and experiences. The ego is only concerned with one thing, survival. The ego keeps you in a world where you are all alone, a world where no one else can enter. Separation is only an illusion, and yet to the ego, you appear separate from others, isolated and afraid. In fact, for the ego to survive, it has taken on the work of accepting or rejecting experiences based upon past memories. The ego is weak and rigid and has no room for growth. Setting the ego and its game aside means putting memories, emotions, and experiences in their proper perspective. The ego can never be obliterated, but you can be yourself and be balanced in such a way that you can have the approval, control, and safety you seek. The ego makes us feel stuck and too fragile to bring about a good life for ourselves, so we vacillate between seven emotional states. Our past memories and experiences trigger the emotions we feel. These emotions greatly influence how we react to challenges and how we live through the ego's game. Only when we become aware of our feelings can we access our personal power. When we get in touch with our feelings, we have the ability to know what is right for us and what we really want. So here's the ego game. E is for emptiness, G for grief, O for overwhelming fear, G for greed, A for anger, M for melodrama, and E for entitlement. Emptiness. When we are empty, we feel apathetic and lethargic because we believe we can't do anything about our lives. We feel that no one is there to help us, so we adopt the attitude of what's the use and what's the point. We view life in black and white, and we feel as though the weight of the world is on our shoulders and believe there is no way out. We withdraw and play weak to avoid being hurt because we see only failure. In this state, we are too tired, drained of all energy, depressed, and feel doomed. Emptiness and depression are anger turned inward. So my grandfather took his life because of the crash of 1929, and he left behind several children, and one of them being my mother, and she grew up feeling afraid. And so then this is passed on because I talked about timeline in the previous episode of, or the first episode of Revenge of the Wounded Child. Then my sister, not knowing how to go ahead and get out of this depressed feeling of doom and being drained of energy, she took her life as well in 2013. So these things are part of our timeline, and you need to want to investigate this if you're always constantly being in negative emotions. So grief is when we're in grief, our mind is less cluttered than in emptiness, but we are still very lethargic. Our pain and loss hurts, and we hope someone can help us because we feel that we can't do anything by ourselves. I get it. There's times when we grieve because of we've lost a mate or we've lost something financially or our health. But the point is, the law of attraction actually works. And I talked about that in previous episodes. But we need to go ahead and get back into something more positive. because our thoughts and emotions revolve around how much hurt we're seeing and our heartache. So then we go up the scale of the ego game, and it's overwhelming fear. When we feel we have overwhelming fear, we become paralyzed and are afraid to take any kind of risk. We want to strike out, but we're too afraid because we think the risk is too great. We feel that if we reach out, someone may hurt us or hit us harder, so we stay in a contracted state. Our thinking tends to be predominantly negative-based, and we see the glass as half empty. This is what's going around our world right now, all of this overwhelming fear, because it's being projected by others that want to control us, and also they use different types of, I would say, you know, if you want to call it media, fine. So it's social media, it's advertisers, it's news. And so our thinking tends to be predominantly negative. And all we focus on is how much we may lose and how much we must control to try to protect ourselves and those dear to us. We feel trapped and want to escape this. We worry and are in constant state of uncertainty, so we feel insecure. This is what's going on. Everything that we see and turn around is creating this constant state of uncertainty, so we feel insecure. Next is greed. When we are stuck in greed, we can't get filled up. We want. We have an insatiable hunger for money, food, power, sex, people, places, and things. This is what we're seeing in politics. We don't have the leaders there. We've got the people that are politicians. And we feel more positive in greed, but our thoughts are still focused on what we don't want and what we don't have. Whereas when we are stuck in emptiness, grief, or fear, we feel, but the feelings are low, dull, and they weigh us down. We never feel satisfied, no matter how much we get. So consequently, we're unable to enjoy what we do have. And feelings can be very intense, and we vacillate back and forth between greed and fear, because we medicate with fantasies, even to the point of believing in them. It's true. Yet underneath, we feel like a fraud and are afraid we will be discovered. So this is what we've got going. We've got a lot of people that are pushing so that they can have control, but underneath, they feel like they're going to be discovered, which probably they will be, and they feel like frauds. Then there's anger. When we're stuck in anger, we want to strike out to hurt and stop others. We don't like how we feel, so we want to vent and transfer those feelings to someone or something else. Quite often, anger makes us feel for the first time, and the feelings are intense and explosive. Anger gets us moving and prompts us to take action. However, it is usually destructive to ourselves and to those around us. The energy in anger can frighten us, making us feel vulnerable, and at the same time giving us the illusion that we are powerful and able to strike out. We become very focused on how we have been slighted and how we're going to get even with others, i.e., revenge. Anger clouds our judgment, so when we act out of anger, we make decisions that later we wished we would have maybe waited on. Whenever someone threatens our vulnerability and weakness, our quickest and easiest defense is to become angry. We believe this hides our weakness, and again, this gives the wounded child within us the illusion of power. The truth is that everyone gets angry, even though many people believe they don't. In fact, we get angry more often than we like to admit. Apathy is really a veiled form of anger. Even though a person may appear indifferent, ultimately he wishes harm on someone else. Even though anger may be a natural or, I believe, a learned common response, it doesn't make it good for us. Anger creates stress and stimulates the body to secrete cortisol, which is a poison. So here again, we've got the haves and the have-nots, and I'll talk about that a little bit further down this episode. So we're talking about road rage, and it's a psychological knee-jerk reaction that doesn't fit the crime. The immediate response is to honk your horn, scream profanity, give dirty looks, and get revenge. And most of us have been raised in homes where anger was prevalent because our role models didn't know how to deal with their emotions. Maybe they couldn't express how they felt because they had to deal with a manipulating employer, were stuck in a traffic jam, or lost a sale, so they suppressed their anger. And then the anger would continue to build until they felt safe in expressing it by taking it out on some unsuspecting person. This is something that we've just experienced recently when Will Smith slapped Chris Rock. He was unsuspecting. Chris Rock didn't suspect it, and Will took out his revenge. But it's a subconscious revenge. So the angry person arriving home maybe have found some petty thing out of order or felt his children were being too noisy, so he vented his anger. Or maybe he went to a bar and maneuvered someone into a fight. Either way, he could vent his anger by hurting some innocent person after first manipulating the scene, so he could make them the scapegoat for his anger and make them suffer for it. So this is still going on. Supposedly, Will Smith wants to sue Chris Rock for what he's done. And the Netflix episode or Netflix documentary that Chris Rock did, but since many individuals have not allowed themselves to feel their hurt, it becomes anger. Anyway, only now it's a subconscious anger. In reality, the majority of people are only deceiving themselves into believing there's no hurt or resentment and wonder why this has gone on. So, talk on how you're feeling and what's been happening in your life. So then we go on to, I've talked about the greed, the anger. We're at melodrama. And when we get caught up in our stories, and that's basically what it is. People keep repeating their stories over and over and over again ad nauseum. They're seeking attention. And melodrama allows us to become highly unstable and even melodramatic. Identifying with our stories keeps us locked in the past, in a past that maybe we're trying to forget, to overcome, to recover from, or to live up to. Struggling with our past is like being caught in quicksand. The more we struggle, the deeper it pulls us in. If we have to protect and defend our stories, we cannot get to know ourselves intimately, and this makes us feel lonely and alienated. And the ego has no choice but to struggle to survive. Entitlement, here's where I was talking about the haves and the have-nots. You got this entitlement part of society, and then those are the haves, and then you've got the have-nots, which... this is all an illusion, but when we are stuck in entitlement, we believe the world owes us a living. We're narrow-minded, and we take on the attitude that we are better than others. We are the haves, and others are the have-nots. We feel we are more deserving than others because someone has done us wrong. Entitlement must maintain the status quo to exist. Get that? The status quo. And you see this in nationalism, religiosity, exclusive clubs, secret societies, etc. Using a kind of mental scorekeeping, our minds are focused on what we have done for others and what we know and how great we are because of this. Entitlement covers the fear that maybe we don't know everything. And maybe we're not that great. But if we can convince enough people to believe the way we do, then we feel superior and can therefore remain safe. So safety's the huge issue. So we have the approval trance. Growing up, we were dependent upon our role models to meet our needs, and we needed to feel loved and approved of so that we could feel in control and safe. And when we experienced rejection and disapproval, we learned to suppress that negative energy, because it wasn't always safe to express how we felt. We had to internalize the wounding because as a child, we couldn't understand how a parent might not love her child, that a parent would deny this very basic need is unfathomable to a child. But a child only sees a parent. He is too inexperienced to note that the parent wears many hats. For example, the husband, the wife, the son, the sibling, the employee, or the wounded child themselves. We learn to put up a false front, a facade to others for the purpose of winning their approval. And so I talk more about that, and I'm going to go on because I want to talk more about some of the other parts of what this is, and that's the approval piece. We also have the control trance. And maybe you know someone who is very controlling and manipulative, someone who always has to control others and be in control. This person characteristically always needs to be right. They are very critical of others, and they tend to be oppositional, even if they secretly agree with you. They always seem to play the devil's advocate. These people not only feel out of control, they are out of control, and we're experiencing this in our society today. Being right gives them the illusion that all is well and they are safe. They protect themselves with this facade because they don't like to feel vulnerable, and they fear that if others see that they aren't all together, they won't be liked or approved of. In reality, these individuals feel very insecure and inadequate because of their unresolved woundedness. We're all wounded. We've all been wounded, but you have to work through it. So it would be too much for them to let you see that they have feelings of inferiority because they believe they will be perceived as weak and taken advantage of by others. Then you have the safety trance. And just remember this before I go on to the safety trance. Those who must control everything tend to be very manipulative and secret. And we're finding this because we've got individuals bringing out all of this information where the news and all this type of thing was suppressed. You've got Elon Musk bringing this to the forefront. So the safety trance is the self-image. And your self-image is what we call the ego. And the work of the ego makes you feel isolated and alone. You experience things that make up this self-image and seals you into a world where no one else can enter. Yet separation is only an illusion, and you can set your ego aside with the understanding that we are all in this quantum soup together. Hey, we're on a rolling rock, rolling through the cosmos. Maybe you ought to take a look on Google at the picture of this. And so selfishness and superstition come from the ego, which always wants approval, control, and safety. The way the ego does this is through possessing, controlling, and dominating everyone and everything. This is why we keep getting more and more laws established, but I'm here to tell you, you cannot establish moralism. You cannot establish safety because people break rules. The good people don't break the rules, and the bad people do break the rules, and we see this all the time. And the ego has us convinced that life is a struggle, and it seeks to impose artificial standards, and those are the laws, about how we're supposed to live. Our lawmakers pass legislation trying to keep us safe, when the true fact is you cannot legislate moralism. Once we let go of this sense of individuality and separate personality, we can create a safe world. Every past and present culture has developed and revered its own oracles, and I talked about oracles in the previous episode. We give a kind of naive acceptance to present-day oracles that was given to the seers of the old. To feel safe, we crave complete and absolute knowledge, so we watch the weather station, the news station. We consult the farmer's almanac. We consult the stock market gurus, the astrologers, or we watch channel people that can channel things on these talk shows, so we know what the future will bring. It doesn't, stations use the hypnotic trigger of fear to get us to tune into their programming because they know we want to be safe. I had just finished dinner at 5 o'clock and began watching my favorite sitcom, and the news breaks for a commercial, and my local newscaster comes on and says, "What you had for dinner tonight may kill you. Details at 10. Now, I'm thinking to myself, it's 5 o'clock, and I have 5 hours left to wonder whether I'm going to live or die. I think to myself, is it cheese? Is it cheese? Will I make it to 10 o'clock to find out? Is it any wonder safety is such a big issue for all of us? So the ultimate fear for the ego, really, it's death. So eliminating the ego and its fears allow you to eliminate that source of misery. When you allow others to be who they are, dropping your expectations and judgments, you begin to live in the present moment. And that's what Eckhart Tolle came out with. And that book is great, The Power of Now. Anyway, you want to begin to live in the present moment. And when you live in the present moment, the source of the ego disappears. Well, I'll be back with my next episode. And this is about anger. And I'll talk more about that. So if you have any questions, though, feel free to email me, Cody@CodyHorton.com, or go to my YouTube channel because I'm putting up different episodes up there. And or you can visit Amazon.com and review some of the things about Revenge of the Wounded Child, or I've written the book Consciously Creating Wealth, or The Secret Matrix of Persuasion, or Hypnotic Secrets of Persuasion. If you have questions, you can always email me, or, again, you can give me a call and leave a message, and I'll get back with you. And that number, my office number, is 303-526-2050. I also wrote The High Magic of India. So everything that I'm talking about isn't new. It's old. It's just that we need to become aware of it. And when you drop the ego, life starts to become miraculous. It's really quite interesting. When you drop all of these different trances, you step up into a kind of maybe what Abraham says with I'm trying to think her name. Anyway, with the gal that channels it's a group of individuals, but you go into pure potentiality. You get into enchantment and enlightenment and happiness. That's where we're supposed to be, and you get into mastery. And I'll be talking more about that, so that when you get into self-reliance, you understand the truth and wealth and tranquility and centeredness, all of that really starts to just fall into place for you. Well, I'm going to end this episode, and it's Esther Hicks. That's who I was thinking of. She channels Abraham Hicks, and she's got some really good information. So, but you know, check it out and see what you think. I mean, whatever applies for you, take it for checking. Take anything that anybody says to you, check it out first. Does it fit for me or doesn't it? But I will guarantee you that you've got to stay in a positive nature. And it's not just being pure positive. It's about what are your inner thoughts? What is your inner conversation? What are you doing? And if you don't like what you've got in your life, start to investigate that inner conversation and change it. Change it, change it, change it. Thank you for tuning in. I'm going to sign off now, and carpe diem.